This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. It's time now for our Africa update. Leaders from the world's wealthiest nation started meeting yesterday in Japan. The leaders of what's called the G8 met with seven African leaders to talk about issues including the global food crisis and politics in Zimbabwe. And the fertility business looks for a new market among African women. For all this and more, we've got Bill Fletcher. He's a senior scholar with the Institute for Policy Studies and former president of Trans-Africa Forum. Hi, Bill.
Hey, how are you?
I am great. So, Good. First of all, we keep using the phrase G8. What is the G8?
The Group of Eight, which was for many years the Group of Seven, are the eight largest economies on the planet. So the United States, Britain, France, Italy, Japan, and Russia are, for example, G8 countries.
So when people from these nations meet and talk about an African agenda, what do they bring to the table and what's on the table this time around?
Well, I'll try not to give you a cynical answer, but basically the Group of Eight meet to discuss the world's economy. For the most part, that's what they're supposed to be talking about. But over the last number of years, there's been greater attention to the question of Africa and issues of economic development. And there's been a lot of pressure on the Group of Eight to come forward with financial assistance, changes in the relationship, economic relationships, in order to promote development. And so once again, that came to the table this time, in addition to sort of a review of what the G8 has accomplished and not accomplished towards reducing poverty.
Now, when we look at this, what they're doing, there was a, you know, in some ways perhaps a minor incident, but a telling one where the British publication The Telegraph reported online that the G8 leaders enjoyed a 6-course lunch followed by an 8-course dinner. African leaders were not invited. And of course, they're talking about the global hunger situation. There was a lot of static about that. Do you think that that was symbolic in any way or just, you know, big time world business as usual?
Well, Farai, now you're going to draw the cynical side out on me. This was an incredibly stupid, careless move by the G8 leaders, where they basically seemed to have thought off camera they could do whatever they wanted to. And they demonstrated for all to see the contempt, actually, that they have towards the rest of the world, that they see themselves as, in effect, the rulers of this planet. So when they're on camera, there'll be the tears, there'll be the concern. Off camera, you saw this hideous example of consumption.
What do you think the G8 leaders should be doing in terms of an Africa agenda? I'm going to get to a couple of specific things, specific national issues of Zimbabwe and Nigeria in a second.
Sure.
But when you talk about members of what we call the developed world dealing with the entire continent of Africa, is there any one agenda that you can even talk about?
Well, there should be. There should be. I mean, there are certain things that the G8 could do almost in their sleep. They've committed to billions of dollars to Africa, and the track record so far is very uneven. President Bush, for example, says that the United States is on the road to fulfilling its obligations. What that means is hard for me to determine at this point. But there are things that could be done. For example, there had been steps that have been taken in the past towards debt cancellation, not debt forgiveness, but debt cancellation. There needs to be a full implementation of that. Another thing that is desperately needed is the sort of economic assistance that repairs the damages that were brought about by colonialism and the Cold War. And the problem, Farai, is that all too often when we're approaching economic issues with Africa, the West attempts to reconfigure African economies essentially to serve the interests of the West, as opposed to serving the interests of the people of Africa. Economic assistance needs to be directed towards building infrastructure and building the kinds of economies that help the people of Africa. That could be the core of an agenda.
What about Zimbabwe? What is on the table in these meetings, if anything, about Zimbabwe?
Well, they just came out with a statement about Zimbabwe. It appears that President Bush and Prime Minister Brown were trying to push for endorsement of sanctions. The statement, which I looked at very briefly, is a statement that's critical of the situation that basically says that no government can be recognized if it doesn't fully represent the people of Zimbabwe, and that the G8 will keep on top of this. That's not bad. And I say not bad because neither the United States nor Britain actually have the moral authority to push through sanctions, particularly in light of Iraq. But to say that they will stay on top of the situation, and particularly to back up the African Union and the Southern African Development Community, I think it's a good move. And I think that is what's important. Now the next step is really, what is the African Union willing to do? And specifically, what is South Africa willing to do?
Let's move to Nigeria, because Nigeria called on the G8 leaders to help stop oil theft. They are preparing a proposal to outline the steps to stop the illegal trade, which could be helping to cause conflicts within the country. Tell us a little bit more about how that unfolds, how the oil wealth is being siphoned off.
Well, it's actually a very serious problem in Nigeria that goes back years. I mean, Nigeria is a major oil producer. And what's happened as a result, and this you can see this in many oil-producing countries, is that you have a vast disparity of wealth and investment. So you have, a very developed oil industry that contrasts with low development in other parts of the economy. You have immense amount of wealth that's been captured by individuals at the same time that you have incredible poverty. And on top of all of that, you have an extensive amount of environmental devastation in the oil areas along the coast. So what's happening is that over the years, there's been tapping into, literally into the lines, of the fuel, so that people can either get the oil to sell or in many cases, get it to survive. That is, to get basic fuel so that they can cook their foods. So the situation is very grave. And what's happened over the last several years is that there's been, in effect, an uprising along the coast in Nigeria, where the people there have felt that they have not been the recipients of any portion of the wealth that's been accumulated by Nigeria's investment in oil.
I want to move to a final topic that is a little unusual. I mean, a lot of times when we talk on our show about Africa, we have a lot of kind of tough news to report, but it's not a monolithic continent in any way, and there's certainly plenty of people with wealth. And now there is a look at whether or not in vitro fertilization, which has become very popular in the U.S., should move over to Africa. And there's a group of doctors in Europe that want to introduce lower cost in vitro in Africa. Do you think that's a sign of either some of the wealth or some of the changes in lifestyle that are going on the continent?
I think it's probably reflective of several different things. One is the rising power of women in Africa, who are demanding changes in health care and also demanding changes that are to their benefit. And I think that that's very important. I think you can look at many countries in Africa and see the emergence of women's movements that are very, very significant. And I'm talking about all different parts of the continent, South Africa, Nigeria, certainly on the east coast of Africa. So I think that that's one thing. The issue that I would pose is to the need to link this with the comprehensive issue of healthcare on the continent. When you're talking about anything related to childbirth and sex, you have to talk about sex, which means that you also have to talk about STDs, HIV and AIDS. There needs to be a real comprehensive look at sexual health, and as well as the sexual rights of women.
All right, so, we have to end it here, but thanks
okay.
So much, Bill.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Bill Fletcher is a senior scholar with the Institute for Policy Studies and former president of TransAfrica Forum, and he spoke with us from NPR's headquarters in Washington, D.C.